Okay, there we go, we're on. So today is the 15th, because 2 days ago was Friday the 13th, right?
Right.
And so that's the way to remember it. So we're halfway through the month already. Doesn't seem possible. But anyway, we are in the middle of, Abraham. Of course, we're going through these, through all these prophets. We're exploring the Quran.
Yes, you are. Hang on.
We're exploring the Quran as well. What I think it really is the central theme of the Quran, which is the issue of prophethood. I mean, Muhammad is the seal of the prophets; he's the last one to come along, and yet he is simply the culmination of a whole succession of prophets and 25 altogether. And we are on, let's see, Abraham is prophet number 6. So as you can see, we have a ways to go. let me write his name on the board again. And I always have to use my notes to get the long vowels and the ayins and the aleph and so forth correct. I want to spell it correctly. So this is an aleph. Ibrahim, that's Abraham. And today we will get into also, Lut, who is Lot. But we're going to start. We're still talking about Abraham, though. So let me just quickly summarize. Obviously, it's quite a bit about it. This is our third week on Abraham. And so let me just quickly summarize the main stories that we have covered. So there was the one story about his debate with some person, unnamed person. But some tradition at least identifies that with Nimrod. We had a little bit of a discussion about that. That was 2 weeks ago. And then there's that really strange story about the birds where he asks Allah, you know, how can you resurrect the bodies, have them come back to you? And Allah tells him, well, you know, get these birds and put them someplace and have them come back to you. I suppose that's supposed to make it obvious how this is supposed to work. I don't know. But anyway, that's nowhere in the Bible. But it was obviously a story that was current in Muhammad's time, and it made its way into the Quran. Those are just two little snippets. The main set of stories, well, one of the main sets of stories, was the story of Abraham and his father, Terah. And I pointed out last time that there is a sole single verse in the Bible indicating that Terah was a polytheist in the book of Joshua. Just it's not even a verse, it's like a clause in a verse that suggests that Terah was worshipped many gods. Well, that whole idea gets developed in far more detail in the Quran, where we have, you know, Abraham trying to convince his father that Allah is the only God, and the father says no. We're going to keep worshiping all these gods. Abraham says, why? And the father says, because that's the way it's always been done. Abraham even tries to intercede with God to forgive his father for his polytheism. The father eventually just breaks off all relationship with Abraham. So, I mean, that's a pretty sad story. And a lot of detail, clearly, that we don't even have in the Bible. I did say, this is like the third or fourth time I've gone through this, it strikes me, though, that, and I said this last time, that it's as though Muhammad is projecting back onto Abraham what was actually happening to him, right? Because that all the details in that story about Abraham's relation to his father really do find echoes in Muhammad's own life. I mean, in his day, of course, the Kaaba in Mecca was full of idols, and his people were idol worshippers. They were polytheists and all that sort of thing, just like in the case of Abraham. And just like in the case of Abraham, you know, Muhammad preaches monotheism. And also, as we discovered, as we worked through those stories with Abraham, one of the stories, most of them, of course, are the negative side, the ones who reject, like his father, who rejected the whole deal. But there was one story that was on the positive side, that, you know, there was a small group of followers who did believe. Well, that was true of Muhammad's life, too. There was a small group of followers who did, you know, accept his views on the sole God and all that sort of thing, just like in Abraham. A lot of those things are just parallel to his own life, which lead me, as a non-Muslim, to speculate that, that he was projecting all of his own experiences back onto this patriarch, this Abraham, where all the main features of Muhammad's own life are anticipated. So that's kind of interesting. There's the unknown, the person identified with Nimrod, you know, the unknown antagonist that he was arguing with, the story of the birds, the main story about Terah, mostly negative, but as I say, there's a small little band of followers that was positive. And then there was one section in the Quran that referred to the far more famous for us story of Abraham and Isaac. But interestingly, the emphasis in the Quran is radically different. That story is mentioned almost in passing, right? I mean, I could reread it, but I mean, you know, it mentions the whole thing, but, you know, it's not a major episode in the life of Abraham. You certainly get the impression that the major episodes in the life of Abraham have to do with this echo of Muhammad's own issues with arguing for monotheism and that sort of thing. So, you know, even though there are parallels, of course, with the Bible, the weight of emphasis is completely different in the Quran. That's what, four themes: the unknown antagonist, the birds, Terah, and all the rest, and then Abraham and Isaac. Now there is one more story left, or one more theme, I guess, a fifth theme left, and that is Abraham and Lot. Oh yeah, I forgot Abraham and the Kaaba. Holy cow, I forgot that one. So that's the fifth one, right? The whole tradition that Abraham and Ishmael either built or rebuilt that cube in the middle of the main mosque, well, now in the main mosque of Mecca. That's story number five. So story number six then actually is Abraham and Lot. Okay, so this will be the last of the Abraham stories, but it overlaps so much with the story of Lot, who is prophet number seven, right? Abraham's prophet number six, Lot's prophet number seven, that I'm immediately going to pivot into reading about Lot. But first, the Abraham part of it. They're intertwined, of course, but the emphasis here is on the Abraham side. And let's see, 1170 through 77. Okay? So here we go. Let's see where I'm ending. Okay, yeah. And surely our messengers came to Abraham with glad tidings. They said, "We bid you peace." He answered, "Peace be on you." And was not long in bringing a roasted calf. Okay, that tracks pretty well with the Bible. But when he saw their hands not reaching thereto, he knew not what they were, and conceived a fear of them. And they said, "Fear not, for we have been sent to the people of Lot." Well, the people of Lot, of course, are going to be the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, or Sodom maybe mainly. And his wife was standing by, and she too was frightened. whereupon we gave her glad tidings of the birth of Isaac, and after Isaac of Jacob. She said, "Oh, woe is me! Shall I bear a child when I'm an old woman? And this my husband is an old man? This is indeed a strange thing." They said, "Dost thou wonder at Allah's decree? The mercy of Allah and his blessings are upon you, O people of the house." Once again, the reference to the Kaaba, the house, right? Because it had already been built, because Ishmael, of course, was earlier. "Surely he is praiseworthy, that's Allah, praiseworthy, glorious." And when fear left Abraham and the glad tidings came to him, he began disputing with us about the people of Lot. Indeed, Abraham was clement, tender-hearted, and oft-turning to God. "Oh, Abraham, turn away from this. Surely the command of thy Lord has gone forth, and surely there is coming to them a punishment that cannot be averted." Okay. So, I mean, a slight allusion to Abraham's bargaining with God, that, well, if we find 100 righteous people, are you guys still going to destroy the city? And God said, yeah. How about 10? How it goes. I haven't read it for a while. I didn't reread it before this class, but how the story goes. Yes, go ahead.
I thought Lot bargained with God for the people of Sodom.
Is that right? Well, I could be wrong. As I say, it's been a while since I read it. Does anybody want to jump in on that one? Let's see here. Nobody wants to jump
in. Oh, I always thought it was Abraham as well, but Jay's usually right on most things.
I think it's better to look it up in this case.
Hang on. So, blah, 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 blah. I'm in the middle of chapter 12. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, this is all the Egypt part. Abraham heard this. Kinsman can take a captive. Blah, 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 blah. After the return of Kinsman. Okay, that's not there. Okay. Where in the world? Here we go. Abraham intercedes for Sodom. Here we go. That's chapter what? Tom, were you going to say something or somebody?
I was just saying Wikipedia says it's Abraham.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, if Wikipedia says it, then...
It's for the correction.
Okay, yeah, so then that's chapter 19. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting, blah, blah, blah. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. That's okay. They were talking about. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, that's actually chapter 18. Is what it is. So the man turned towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou indeed destroy the righteous along with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou then destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from these to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare with the same as the wicked. Far be it from thee, shall not the Lord of all earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." And Abraham answered, "Behold, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord, but I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose, 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Wilt thou destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he says, "I will not destroy it for 45. Then he goes to 40, and then blah, 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 30, and then blah, 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 20, and then 10. But obviously there were fewer than 10 righteous people in the city, so it got destroyed. So that's the...
So, Don, I guess we'll find out if the Quran mentions Lot's offer of his daughters.
I don't think so. My memory is that it doesn't. But we'll find out in a minute. As you know by now, the overwhelming emphasis in the Quran and all these stories is the punishment side of things, right? I mean, God is always, or, well, no, sorry, a prophet is always relaying God's command that Allah is the only God. And nine times out of ten, or more than that, they don't believe in, boom, you know. So that's what really sticks out in my mind is, you know, over and over and over again, it's the punishment part of the story. And that's what's going on here, too. So anyway, that's the first of the, what, three, I think it is. Abraham and Lot, four of them actually. The next one is 15, 52 to 61. 15. Here we go. 52 to 61. Okay. And tell them about Abraham's guests when they entered in unto him and said, peace. And he answered, verily, we feel afraid of you. They said, fear not. We give thee glad tidings of a son who shall be endowed with knowledge. He said, do you give me the glad tidings in spite of the fact that old age has overtaken me? Of what then do you give me glad tidings? They said, we have indeed given thee glad tidings in truth. Be not therefore those of those who despair. He said, and who can despair of the mercy of his Lord save those who go astray? He said, what now is your business, O ye messengers? They said, we have been sent unto a guilty people, excepting the family of Lot, whom them we shall save all. Except his wife. We surmise that she shall be of those who remain behind. Okay. So that's that one. And then, let's see here. The next one is 29, 32, just two verses. 29, 32 through 33. Must be here. And when our messengers brought Abraham the glad tidings, they said, we are going to destroy the people of this town. Surely its people are wrongdoers. He said, but Lot is there. They said, we know full well who's there. We will surely save him and his family, except his wife, who is of those who will remain behind. Okay. And then finally, that's funny. Let's see, what's that one? 29. I see. Yeah. Let's see now. This one is 20. This is 27 through 30. So 28, 25 through 38. Boy, it's hard to read my own notes here. He has the story of Abraham's honored guests reached thee. When they entered upon him, he said, and said, peace. He said, peace. They were all strangers. And he went quietly to his household and brought a fatted calf. And he placed it before them. He said, will you not eat? And he felt a fear on account of them. They said, fear not. And they gave him glad tidings of the birth of a son possessing knowledge. Then his wife came forward crying and smote her face and said, a barren old woman. They said, even so has thy Lord said, surely he is wise, the all-knowing. Abraham said, now what is your errand, O ye messengers? They said, we have been sent to a sinful people, that we may send down upon them stones of clay, marked with thy Lord for those guilty of excesses. And we brought forth therefrom such of the believers as were there, and we found not there except only one house of Muslims. And we left therein a sign for those who fear the painful punishment. So, you know, the other thing too that's, well, now this is just the Abraham part of it. Then I don't remember. We'll see. But of course, the details in the Sodom story, I mean, the Lot part of it has to do with, you know, homosexuality. So far, there's no sign of that. It's simply a matter of the old song and dance about there's only one God that you got to believe in, and they obviously weren't doing that. As it turns out, there's only one family of Muslims, it says. Only by that, of course, that means only one family of believers. Everybody else is a disbeliever. The family of believers, of course, is Lot's family. So now we will look at Lot and see about that question about Lot's daughters. I don't remember, but maybe it's there. So now, go ahead.
Before we get off of Abraham.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it not have, or maybe I missed it, the part about Hagar and Ishmael being sent out into the desert? Is that not in there?
No. The only Ishmael stuff has to do with the building of the Kaaba. So it's a different take altogether. I mean,
is Hagar even mentioned? Is her name mentioned?
I don't recall that it was.
He's not there.
Does anybody? I mean, I read. Does anybody remember? I don't remember that being mentioned in anything I read last week. And that was the. I mean, there are only how many? Three. I think this is fairly exhaustive. I mean, I really spent a long time. You know, going through the Quran, looking stuff up, and getting every reference I possibly could. So I believe there are only three references to that story about the building of the Kaaba, and that's where Ishmael comes in. And I don't remember any of those three. I mean, of course, she's implied. I won't say, even if she's not named, she's certainly implied. But the emphasis, go ahead.
And these ones that you were just reading, the angels were talking to Abraham, mm-hmm. or and saying, you're going to have a son. And he's saying, and Sarah's saying, we're too old.
Mm-hmm.
But we're to presume that they've already had Ishmael?
Yeah.
That it was a son of Sarah as well as...
No, he was son of Hagar and Abraham, her handmaiden, right?
Okay.
So he's a half-brother of Isaac.
Right, but they weren't sent out into the desert when Sarah got jealous of
it. No. I don't remember that at all in there.
Okay.
It comes up, of course, that Ishmael is Abraham's son. Well, of course, you know, the tradition, of course, was that Ishmael was the ancestor of the Arab people. And so he gets more billing in the Quran than Isaac does. You know, I mean, there's this one reference, remember that I read last time, to the story of Abraham and Isaac, the one that we think is the more important one. And then there are scattered mentions of the name Isaac, of course, as you have heard, and we will hear a few more. But the emphasis is more, the interest is on the fact that, you know, Ishmael and Abraham, you know, built this sacred site in the middle of Mecca. And you can see why that would be of more interest to them than the story of Abraham and Isaac. You know, so once again, this is just the same deal that we've encountered over and over again. I mean, there are all these gobs of echoes with the Bible, but almost in every case, the emphasis is different, you know? So, of course, as I keep on saying, a lot of the emphasis is on the vindictive side of God. I mean, God just doesn't give people second chances. I mean, this is no Origenian theology where, you know, you blow it the first time and then God, you know, creates a new universe, plops you in there, and having trained you in between recreations of the universe and says, okay, try again, see if you can do a better job, and keeps doing that. I mean, that's, of course, a radical emphasis on the mercy of God. Here, the emphasis is on the justice of God. And, you know, God lays out what you're supposed to do. Couldn't be clearer. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. Okay. If you don't do it, why should I give you another chance? I mean, you blew it. Not my problem. That's kind of the attitude that you find in so much of this, where the emphasis is not so much on the joys of the elect or of the saved, but on the horrible punishments of the damned, and you darn well better toe the line because this is what's going to happen. So it's a lot of that. So anyway, Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's see, what color is this one? Oh, this is my FYI one, I think. So is that right? No. Yeah. First one, 7:81-85. Oh, so wait a minute now. I got so many colors in here, it's hard for me to get a... Oh, wait a minute. 7. Which one is? Oh, it's the facts one. Okay, now I know. Okay, right, that's right. Okay, 81 through 85. Okay. And we sent Lot when he said to his people, okay, well, I'll take that back. What's coming up? I'll take back what I said a minute ago. And we sent Lot when he said to his people, do you commit an abomination such as no one in the world did before you? You approach men with lust instead of women. Nay, you are a people who exceed all bounds. And the answer of his people was no other than that they said, turn them out of your town, for they are men who would keep pure. So these guys are much too pure-minded. And we saved him and his family, except his wife. She was of those who stayed behind. And we rained upon them a rain. Now see what was the end of the sinners. So I was completely wrong. That is definitely a reference to the homosexual issue. Now the next one is 11, 78 through 84. Yeah. Okay. And when our messengers came to Lot, he was grieved on account of them, and he felt helpless on their behalf and said, this is a distressful day. And his people came running towards him, trembling with rage. And before this, too, they used to do evil. He said, oh, my people. Ah, here we go. Who was it that? Was it Pat who asked me about the daughters? he said, oh, my people, these are my daughters. They are purer for you. So fear Allah and disgrace me not in the presence of my guests. Is there not among you any right-minded man? So, okay. They answered, thou surely knowest that we have no claim on thy daughters, and thou surely knowest what we desire. Okay. He said, would that I had power to deal with you, or I should betake myself to a mighty support for shelter. The messengers said, O Lot, we are the messengers of thy Lord. They shall by no means reach thee, so depart with thy family in a part of the night, and let none of you look back but thy wife. Surely what is going to befall them shall also befall her. Verily their appointed time is the morning. Is not the morning nigh? So when our command came, we turned that town upside down. We rained upon it stones of clay, layer upon layer, marked for them the decree of thy Lord, and such punishment is not far from the wrongdoers of the present age. So, there we go. We have a reference to the daughters, but it's not quite the same, is it? I mean, you know, they don't even care about the daughters. You know? Well, I guess that's what maybe... No, that's not what happened in the Bible story, is it? I believe, right? He offered them his daughters.
Yeah, so that they may know them, as yeah, they say.
Right. And they did.
No, yeah, I don't think they did. Because they didn't want them. They wanted the men.
Well, okay. I thought they were happy with either one. But let's...
Arlene, you're on there. You're the expert.
Yeah, it just strikes me as a bit unseemly for a prophet to be offering his daughters.
Oh, well, like yeah, that. Well, good point. Hang on just a second here. Here we go. Let's see now. Where is the daughter's business? Okay, here we go. So, well, let's see now. This is in chapter 19. But before they laid down the men on the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people to the last man surrounded the house, and they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Of course, that's the angels who had visited, you know, Lot and Sodom, because they won them. For sexual reasons. Where are the men? Blah, blah, blah. Bring them out to us. That, this is what Tom said, that we may know them. Lot went out of the door to the men, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. You know, of course, this is part of the Middle Eastern tradition of hospitality. You know, he has these guests in his house, and the last thing you can do is allow them to be somehow abused by your fellow townsmen or anybody. And then he goes on and says, behold, I have two daughters who have not known man, let me bring them out to you. Golly days. And do to them as you please. Oh, they're just females after all. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. So there's a lot going on here. I mean, you know, the guests, the hospitality rule, but also clearly it's almost like, you know, the daughters are chattel. They're so possessions, I suppose. But they said, stand back. And they said, this fellow came to sojourn, and he would play the judge. he would play the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and brought Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the door of the house, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves groping for the door. Blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe they didn't then. Yeah, I guess I'm wrong. I guess they did not get a chance to put their hands on his daughters. Oh, wait a minute now. Okay, no, that's okay. Yeah, the very next verses describe the flight of Lot and his family. And, okay, so I guess that's reasonably accurate in terms of the Bible, story. Let's see now, where am I? I'm in chapter 11. The next one's 15, 62 through 78. 15, here we go. And when the messengers came unto the family of Lot, he said, verily, you are a party of strangers. They said, nay, but we have come to thee with that about which they doubted, and we have come to thee with the truth, and surely we are truthful. So go forth with thy family in the latter part of the night, and follow thou in the rear, and let none of you look back. And now proceed to where you are commanded. And we communicated to him this decree, that the root of them was to be cut off by the morning. And the people of the city came rejoicing. He said, these are my guests, so put me not to shame, and fear Allah, and disgrace me not. They said, did we not forbid thee to entertain all sorts of people? He said, these are my daughters, if you must do something. By thy life, these too, in their mad intoxication, are wandering in distraction. Then the punishment seized them at sunrise. We turned it upside down. We rained upon them stones of clay. Surely these in this are signs for those who can read signs, and so forth. So that was the 70. 70. Oh, keeps on going. And it lies on a road that still exists. Surely this is a sign for the believers. Okay, that's it. So the next one is, where am I? 15. The next one is 21, 72 through 76. 21. Oh, that's 26. Oh, here we go. And we saved him and Lot, and brought that him would have been Abraham, him and Lot, and brought them to the land which we blessed for the peoples, and we bestowed upon him Isaac and Jacob, and as a grandson, Isaac and as a grandson of Jacob, and we made all of them righteous, and we made them leaders who guided people by our command, and we sent revelation to them, and joining the doing of good works, and the observing of prayer, and the giving of alms. And they were worshippers of us alone. And to Lot we gave wisdom and knowledge, and we saved him from the city, which practiced abominations. They were indeed a wicked, rebellious people. And we admitted him to our mercy. Surely he was one of the righteous. Okay. And the next one, then, is 22, I think. No, sorry, 26. So I guess I skipped that one. 26, 161 to 176. The people of Lot rejected the messengers. When their brother Lot said to them, will you not become righteous? Surely I am unto you a messenger faithful to my trust, so fear Allah and obey me. and I ask of you no reward for it. My reward is only with the Lord of the worlds. That's a typical refrain, of course. A lot of these prophets are saying that. Do you of all peoples approach males and leave your wives whom your Lord has created for you? Nay, you were a people who transgress. They said, if thou desist not, O Lot, wilt thou surely be one of the banished ones? He said, certainly I hate your practice. My Lord saved me and my family from what they do. So we saved him and his family, all of them, save an old woman among those who stayed behind. Then we destroyed the others. And we rained upon them a rain, and evil was the rain for those who were warned. In that, verily, there is a sign, but most of those would not believe. And surely thy Lord, he is the mighty, the merciful. It's not very merciful, but what's interesting, too, is that at least most of what I've read so far, it refers to clay being rained down upon Sodom, not fire. And you know, fire and brimstone and that sort of thing, as though they were just kind of buried by an avalanche of clay. So that's 26. 27:55-59. And remember Lot, when he said to his people, do you commit abomination while you see the evil thereof? What? Do you approach men lustfully rather than women? Nay, you are indeed an ignorant people. But the answer of his people was not, save that they said, drive out Lot's family from your city. They are a people who would keep clean. So we saved him and his family, except his wife. Her we decreed to be one of those who stayed behind. And we rained upon them a rain, and evil was the rain for those who were warned. So this is, here it's a rain, but elsewhere it's clay. Facts. Next one is 34-36, I guess. Is that right? No, well, and we sent Lot. Oh, my eye keeps on, let's see now. 27. Here we go. And we sent Lot. He said to his people, you commit an abomination which none among mankind has ever committed before you. Do you indeed come lustfully to men and cut off the highway for the travelers? And you commit abomination in your meetings. But the only answer of his people was that they said, bring upon us the punishment of Allah if thou speakest the truth. He said, help me, my Lord, against the wicked people. And when our messengers brought Abraham, well, this I read before, the glad tidings, they said, we are going to destroy the people of this town. Surely it's people of wrongdoers. And he said, but Lot is there. They said, we know full well who is there. We will surely save him and his family, except his wife, who is of those who remain behind. And when our messengers came to Lot, he was distressed on account of them, and he felt powerless with regard to them. And they said, fear not nor grieve. We will surely save thee and thy family, except thy wife, who is of those who remain behind. We are surely going to bring down the people of this town a punishment from heaven, for they have been rebellious. And we have left thereof a clear sign for the people who would understand. Okay. So that one is to 36, 37, 134 to 139. Okay. And assuredly Lot, too, was one of the messengers. We delivered him and all his family, except an old woman who was among those who stayed behind. I guess the old woman, I mean, that was mentioned in a previous one, right? I guess that's his wife. And here, it's not that she was turned into a pillar of salt. I mean, there was the line in there about don't look back. But so far, nothing about a pillar of salt. Simply, she apparently didn't leave with the rest of the family. So it's a little different there. Then we utterly destroyed the others, and surely you passed by them in the morning and by night. Then why do you not understand? 37. Then the next one is 53. Okay, 53, 54, and 55. And he overthrew the subverted cities of the people of Lot, so that they were, so that there covered them that which was to cover. Okay. And then 54. 34 through 39. 54. Yeah, here we go. Lot's people also rejected the warners. Now, here we go. We sent a storm of stones upon them, except the family of Lot, whom we delivered by early dawn. As a favor to us, thus do we reward him who is grateful. And indeed, he had warned them of our punishment, but they doubted the warning. And they deceitfully sought to turn him away from his guests. So we blinded their eyes. That part is in the Bible. And said, taste ye now my punishment and my warning. And there came upon them early in the morning a lasting punishment. And then I have this one. I don't remember this one. What's this one? This is 66. Oh, I know. This is 66:11, right? Allah sets forth for those who disbelieve. I read this one before. Allah sets forth for those who disbelieve the example of the wife of Noah and the wife of Lot. They were under two righteous servants of ours, but they acted unfaithfully towards them. So they availed them not against Allah, and it was said to them, enter the fire, ye twain, along with those who enter. So that, remember we read that before in connection with Noah. So Noah's wife was evil, and so was Lot's wife. She did not accept what Lot was preaching and stayed behind and was destroyed with all the other residents of Sodom. Okay. Any questions, comments, or anything?
Don, yeah. It seems like the issue here is really one of behavior, sort of acting righteously, and maybe the, you know, transgressions against, you know, homosexual behavior, as opposed to some of the earlier prophets where the focus was really just about polytheism and mm-hmm. you got to accept Allah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. There's maybe a little bit in there about, you know, the accepting Allah and that sort of thing,
right,
but
right.
That was not the emphasis in this case. So it is a little bit different. Very, very, very good. Yeah. Anything else?
And what exactly do we think Lot's wife, what was her error? Was it just not following instructions, or was she also just not acting righteously?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And, I'm just seeing if... I was just looking to see if Bonnie is on, but I guess she isn't. I don't think there's much of an indication there. I mean, these are men, of course, in Sodom that he's speaking with, not the women. And the men are then engaging in homosexual behavior with other men.
Hey, Don, when I was looking up earlier the question about the daughters, it said in that article that the wife was an unbeliever.
Well, yeah, that is a possibility. That
it wasn't ill behavior,
yeah.
But she was married to a prophet and didn't believe him, and so she was doomed.
Yeah, that makes more sense because, as I say, the homosexuality wasn't among the women, it was among the men. What that would leave her with what? Probably just, like you said, probably just unbelief. So that seems reasonable. Go ahead.
I always kind of felt sorry for her. Because all I remember is that, you know, she's leaving her hometown, probably her parents or cousins, and it's too hard not to look back. And that's
yeah.
all she did. Kind of like the one that was being led up from hell. And
right. Eurydice.
Yeah. She just had the impulse to look back, and what? There's nothing terribly wicked about that, but
right. Well, by our lives,
I was remembering too is the Orpheus and Eurydice mm-hmm. story. There's nothing wrong with having that human impulse,
mm-hmm.
but she gets, you know, struck down or pulled back or whatever.
Yeah, It is funny, isn't it, how that same theme is there in the Bible in the Orpheus story.
Right.
And I guess it's just, yeah, it's just talking about a normal human curiosity. But in this case, that's not as important as obeying God's command, which was, you know, don't look back. I agree with Mark. Go ahead.
The man is very mission driven and the woman is, you know, maybe more socially thinking about what am I losing? What connections am I losing here?
Yeah, could be. Although, I mean, I sort of see in it kind of an echo of the Adam and Eve thing. I mean, Adam would have been okay if it wasn't for the fact that Eve was the weak one and kind of was the go-between, you know, between the serpent and Adam in some ways. And
that's only in the Bible. It's in the Quran. They're both.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was thinking about the Bible when I said that, though. Yeah, but you're right. The Bible story, what I was thinking about, the pillar of salt part of it, you could interpret that as being sort of similar to the Eve story and the moral of it being something like, you know, feminine weakness or something against the male, like Pat was saying, you know, more mission-driven kind of thing. Well, God says this, okay, we'll go with it. And then the female is the weak one. She eats of the apple in one case. She looks back in another case.
Does it go on? Is this the end of Lot? Or
yeah, this is it. I read you all of them, except just scattered references and stuff. Yeah,
it doesn't have the bit about his daughters lying with him while he's drunk, so that he will have issue.
Was that Lot?
Noah.
Well, I mean, no. Well, no. Well, wait a minute now. Oh, well, maybe it was. Maybe it was. I mean, there's the issue of Noah getting drunk, but that's a little different story. Yeah, I think you're right. No, now that's not there. So yeah.
Well, you know, Don. Yeah. I think the story about the wife is at least here in the Quran is fairer. If she's being punished for being non-believer, it's much. Oh, she was tricked in the Bible.
Well,
the thing about looking back is sort of a setup and a trick.
Well, I don't know if it's a trick. I mean, it's just a command, and she just didn't obey it. That's all. But I do agree.
Well, but she could have been a highly faithful person and living an upright life.
Yeah.
And then she just does one looking back, and poof.
Yeah.
Whereas at least here in the Quran, if she's an unbeliever, then
yeah. Right? It seems more serious.
Or more deserving, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. And, you know, you're saying something similar to Marty when she said, well, you know, I always felt sorry for Lot's wife. And
yeah.
It does seem like a raw deal. I mean, all she did was, you know, normal human curiosity. And so, yeah, you're right. I think that's a more serious charge. It's not said explicitly in what I read, but I think that's the only possible inference. That it was unbelief in her case, not homosexuality, certainly, because that was a male thing. So I have time to go over a little more here. It turns out the next two prophets, I mean, Lot's number seven, so eight and nine, actually eight, nine, and ten are, even eight, nine, ten, and 11 are really... very short. So let me just put them up on the board. And make sure I spell it right. So after Lot, we have, of course, Ishmael. And that's And of course, we've already encountered Ishmael, and we've actually encountered the only major story anyway in connection with Abraham. Everything else is just a bunch of, you know, mentions. And then there's Isaac, and that's where am I? I got there. No, I'm sorry. Uh Isaac. So Ishmael and Isaac, the two sons of Abraham. And then even, well, we won't get to Jacob, so I guess I'll leave him off. But Jacob and Joseph and Job are coming up next after Ishmael and Isaac. And they're also very, very short. We don't get to anything extensive till we get to Shuab, and you'd never know it, but that is Jethro. And we do have some stuff about, a lot more about Jethro in the Quran than we have in the Bible. So let me just read a few on Ishmael and Isaac, and that's 2:137, and that's the FYIs, I think. It's this one. Yes, it is. 137. Typically, I've been skipping these kinds of verses, but for a few of them, these kind of verses are the only thing the Quran says about them, so I will read them. Say ye, we believe in Allah and what has been revealed to us, and what was revealed to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and his children, what was given to Moses and Jesus, and what was given to all the other prophets from their Lord. We make no difference between any of them, and to him we submit ourselves. So, okay. Ishmael and Isaac get both mentioned there. 385 is the next one. Oops. 385. Say, we believe in Allah and that which has been revealed to us, and that which has been revealed to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes, and that which was given to Moses and Jesus and other prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction between any of them, and to him we submit. Same thing. The next one is here, and that is 4:164. Surely we have sent a revelation to thee. I guess would be Muhammad in this case. As we sent revelation to Noah and the prophets after him, and we sent revelation to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and his children, and to Jesus and Job and Jonah and Aaron and Solomon, and we gave David the book. So that's a whole litany of prophets. Next one, 687. And we also guided Ishmael and Elisha and Jonah and Lot, and each one did we exalt above the people. And then 19, 55 and 56. What's this? FYI. Wait a minute. Here it is. Sorry. And relate the story of Ishmael, as mentioned in the book. He was indeed in strict in keeping his promise, and he was a messenger, a prophet. This one is a little bit on Ishmael. He used to enjoin prayer and almsgiving on his people, and he was well-pleasing to his Lord. So that's not just a mention of a scads of prophets. That actually, is a little bit on him, although not much. And then 21:86 through 87. And remember Ishmael and Idris. Idris was Enoch. And Dalkiphel, that's Ezekiel. All were of the steadfast, and we admitted them to our mercy. Surely they were of the righteous. Where am I? 21. And the next one, the last one, is 38:49. FYI. And remember Ishmael and Elisha and Dalkiphel, and all were of the best. That's Ishmael. Yeah. Not a whole heck of a lot. And Isaac? Well, actually, I've already read 1, 2, 3. Okay. 37, 113 through 114. 37. Here we go. Now this is Isaac, and we gave him the glad tidings of Isaac, a prophet and one of the righteous, and we bestowed blessings on him and Isaac, that's Abraham, of course, and among their progeny, and some who do good and others who clearly wrong themselves. Okay, and the other one, the only other one on Isaac, besides the one I read in connection with Ishmael, is 38, 46 through 48. And that's right here. And remember our servants, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, men of strong hands and powerful vision. We chose them for a special purpose, reminding the people of the abode of the hereafter. And truly they are in our sight among the elect and the best. That's it. So other than the story, the one story of Abraham and Isaac earlier, everything else to Isaac is nothing but a reference. And you do have a lot of passages like the ones I've read with respect to Ishmael and Isaac, just a list of various prophets. So that's all you got. So nothing in any kind of detail. So we will pick up next week then with Jacob, who is another one that there's just a few scattered things about. And then Joseph, a little more on Joseph. In fact, basically a whole surah on Joseph. And then we'll probably get to Job, and we may even get to Jethro, Shuab. So that's what's coming up. So we've gone now through 11 of the 25 prophets. So we're making progress. All right. Well, we got to quit because it's almost 10 o'clock. So see ya. See you next week.
Thanks, Don.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Don.